Here we uncover the traditions that are working for successful parents. For the parents who are ready to do things differently but aren't sure how, go to WandaHoward.com and download my free blueprint. It will help you create the difference you've been looking for and enable your kids to be emotionally healthy and confident throughout their lives. Now is the time to start doing things differently. Welcome back, everybody, to the Successful Parents Podcast. I am your host, Wanda Howard, and my co-host,
Emery Howard.
And I'm going to turn it over to you, Emery. Go ahead.
So welcome, everybody. Today we have Ashley Bartley, and she is Ashley, tell us what your business job is.
Sure. My job is kind of hard to explain because it's a lot of different things. I am a school counselor at a public elementary school, and I'm also a children's book author. And then I also write curriculum for school counselors to use with kids, and parents can also use that curriculum as well.
Great.
And then I also have three little boys at home.
Oh, that's awesome.
What are their names?
So I have my oldest is Elijah. He's going into sixth grade. Sage is going into third grade. And Wilder is going into first grade.
Oh, that's so
awesome. So I'm a little bit older than Sage and a little bit younger than your oldest.
Yeah, Elijah. Good job.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, right in there.
I'm in fourth grade, so
okay. Yeah.
I'm going to be... Yeah.
Are you going into fourth grade?
I'm homeschooled, so I'm in fourth grade, but
okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of brings us right to why we have Ashley here with us. Because one, I was never public schooled, and Emery was only in public school for about a year and a half. And so we do homeschool, and I know that a lot of our listeners who have gone through trauma, who have depression, anxiety, mental illness issues or struggles or awarenesses with their family, they have their kids in public school. And there's a lot of people right now wondering, how do they help their kids? How do they help them function? How do they as parents feel okay about what's happening in the world right now? So what are some of the biggest issues that you have seen, Ashley, that kids are facing in schools?
I know it's the types of issues have changed a lot since I started as a counselor. When I started in a middle school about 15 years ago, kids didn't really use cell phones yet. You know, they didn't get on social media or anything. And now, you know, with all of the screen time kids seem to get and the pandemic and everything like that, it seems like just anxiety, ADHD, we see a lot of that. Kids picking up on anxiety from their parents and just, you know, kind of perseverating on things. It's a lot different than I always say. I loved working in a middle school and I would go back anytime, but the things have also changed so much.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some of the resources that parents typically go to when they start to notice like their kids are struggling or dealing with a lot of anxiety? What are some of the initial resources first that they can turn to?
A lot of parents that I talk to at school go to their pediatricians first and talk. And then a lot of the pediatricians have been referring the kids back to the school counselor just because a lot of the agent, like the local counseling agencies in the area are all booked out, you know, for 6 to 7 months. So then they come back to me and my co-counselor and they say, is there any way that you can see my child? Or we try to link them to resources just within our school building or ones we know that might work a little bit faster. I know lots of people like to follow different parenting blogs on Instagram or different parenting, you know, influencers on Instagram. And depending on the age of the child, there's some really good ones out there. But a lot of times they start with their pediatrician and then come to the school as well.
Yeah. And it definitely seems like there is already kind of that emotional roller coaster on top of not knowing where to turn if they're being told to go somewhere and then to another place and then somewhere else. So what are some of the things that you've found that are most helpful for kids? Like, as soon as they get to you, as soon as you're finally able to be like, okay, I can help, what are some of the resources that you're able to give to them?
So we offer, we'll do one-on-one individual counseling, or we'll do groups with other kids, and then we'll also go in the classroom. And so kind of depending on what it is, any of those could be helpful. So if it's one-on-one, I might, you know, find a, I have book, like I have a library of books that I use for different, to address different things. And reading the books with the child can help them like relate to what's going on in the book. And then that might help them open up more about maybe what it is going on with them. Because a lot of times the parents will reach out and say, hey, can you check in with my child about this and this and this? Well, a lot of times I kind of let the child offer to me what's going on instead of me saying, I already know this about you. Uh-huh. And so if they read those books, then they can, you know, or if I read it with them, then they can kind of point and, you know, I can, they can make little connections like that. Yeah. Dollhouses are pretty amazing, you know, with kids. You can just kind of observe and see what they act out and what experiences they've had based on how they play with a dollhouse. So that's really interesting. And then I have different workbooks and things like that I can use with kids. With groups and with classroom guidance lessons, I do. We do a lot of games where the kids are up and moving around and getting their heart rate going so that then we might do like a freeze in the middle of the game. And when they have to freeze and their heart rate is still going, I might ask them a question and it helps them to kind of learn how to self-regulate and think about how they would feel in a certain situation while their heart rate is still going, because that can kind of help them when they're in a situation, you know, maybe a disagreement with a friend and, you know, they're kind of feeling escalated and they have to make a decision then. So I do a lot of games like that with kids just to get them practicing.
That's really cool. I've never even heard about those kinds of games, but that would be really fun. Yeah. To just, even if there's not anything super traumatic going on at the moment, but to be a part of and to just have that part of your brain growing is to me.
Because I've noticed a lot of times if you talk one-on-one with someone, you know, in my office, they know all the like right answers or how they would calm down or how they would regulate. But then when they go back to their classroom and something happens, they can't always translate that. So we try to practice in those scenarios where they're already kind of in an escalated state just from being up and moving around.
Yeah. And like the books too that you mentioned, I think that's a genius way to get kids to open up, because so often they're not even having the conversations beforehand to have the language to describe what they're going through or what's happening. So when they see it like played out in a book, they're like, oh, hey, I know what that's like.
Yeah. And it can kind of normalize their experience. And some kids don't always know any different. So, you know, I've had some extreme cases where kids were really experiencing trauma at home, but they didn't know that that was not typical for other kids. They thought that's how everybody lived. So that can be kind of interesting too.
Yeah. So what?
Stay with her.
Yeah. That's kind of my story, huh? I needed those books when I was little.
Yeah.
But speaking of those books, what are those books? Like, I want to know more about the books.
You want to know more about the books?
Yes.
Yeah, so it just depends on what topic. Trudy Ludwig is a great author for just addressing different things that come up like fourth, fifth, sixth grade. She writes about kids who feel left out in school, kids who get bullied, kids who are sarcastic and other kids don't understand their sarcasm. She's one of my favorites. And then I just have so many, like all these back here are all books that I use with kids. And I reach for them so much that I sort them by color so I can just reach back and grab the one that I need.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. You have some books coming out too, right?
I do. Yeah. I write books for school counselors as well, because I always try to write the book that I need for, you know, whatever topic it is I'm seeing at my school. So I have 5 books right now. Do you want me to talk about them?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay, awesome. I have my first book is kind of like my book baby, and it's called Diamond Rattle Loves to Tattle. And it's not just about tattling. It's mostly about helping kids learn what the size of their problem is, so they know whether it's something they can handle on their own, like if it were something you could handle on your own as a fourth grader, or if it's something that you would need to go get help for. So it just kind of explains a lot, or gives a lot of different scenarios. And then the main character has to decide if it's something, you know, that they could just try to figure out the solution to, or if they need to go get like the teacher or somebody.
Yeah.
And then I have one. This is the book I needed when I was little. It's called Opal Octopus is Overwhelmed. And it is about managing your schedule and not being a people pleaser and not saying yes to every single thing and figuring out boundaries for your life so you can focus on, you know, what matters to you and your family. It's secretly for adults.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of adults need that too. But when you start sharing that with a child and they start like experiencing like they can set boundaries, how do you help them navigate that with their parents? Because a lot of times parents at home are either trying to learn that concept too of letting their kids have boundaries, or it's very new to them. Like, do you bring the parents in and talk with them about that?
Not usually, but I do always encourage the kids to go home and talk with their parents, because I feel like that is, you know, that's going to be more important in the long run than the child talking to me, because I'm not always going to be there. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to be there when they're in middle school. I'm not going to be there when they get home. And so, you know, just encouraging them to have these conversations with their parents. Sometimes they can pretend, like we'll role play and I'll say, what, you know, how would you bring this up with your family? Or how would you say this? And then they can practice with me and build that confidence. And then they can go home and talk with their parent. But a lot of times it's just like, I've had kids that come in and they're just overwhelmed with how many activities they do. And it might just be like, you know, they're going to a different sport or club or practice every day after school. And so it might just be kind of talking with them about, you know, what that's like, and, you know, is that really important to them, or what is most important? It's not really my place to say, like, you know, how many activities they can do or what they should do. But, you know, even just being able to like express to their family, like, hey, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. Is there a way that, you know, we could figure out how to focus on just a few of those things, or how to better balance our time so that I'm not feeling so rushed?
Yeah. I love that. That's so cool.
And what's another one of your books?
Let's see. Another one is called Remy in Overdrive. This one is about a character who has ADHD.
And oh, so, my brother needs it.
It has lots of ideas that kids can use at home and at school. I always try to give ideas for both places so that it's something that teachers can use with their students, and then parents and caregivers can use at home.
Hey.
That's when he goes on a field trip and he's wild in the museum. So that's one that's really fun to read.
That's awesome.
And then my next one is Jasper Lizard Wants to Stay Home. Oh, go ahead.
Just that I trained a dog and its name is Ruby, and I still can't get it to lay down because it's such a hyper dog.
Oh wow, what kind of dog is Remy?
Just a border collie.
Yeah. Maybe Remy needs this book.
She understood the words.
Yeah. Well, my dog didn't settle down till he was about 3 years old. How old is Remy?
I don't know. Probably just about almost a year old.
It's a friend's dog. She watches every night.
Gotcha. Yeah. Sometimes it takes a little while.
Yeah. Yep. She'll get there.
My new puppy's more trained than her.
Yeah. I think my dog failed out of three training schools.
Oh wow.
And he finally just outgrew it. So
they all have different personalities, then, just like kids, huh?
Yes, I know. You never know. You never know what your dog is gonna be like.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Another book I have is called Jasper Lizard Wants to Stay Home. And that one is about like kids with school anxiety and separation anxiety. So it gives some suggestions for that. And then my last book I don't have a copy of it yet because it's not out till August, but it's called Molly and the Runaway Trolley. And I'm really excited because it's a human character. So all my other books have been animals, and this one is a human. And I'm really excited that the illustrator, it was able to put in a lot of like representation in it. There's a child in a wheelchair and there's a child with diabetes. So I just wanted other kids to kind of feel seen and included when they see this story.
Oh, that's so cool. And for those listening, this podcast is being recorded in July. So, and when it comes out, it'll be somewhere at the beginning of 2024. So just so you know, by the time this comes out, that book will be available if you want to go and check it out. That would be awesome. And where can people find these books?
They are pretty much everywhere books are sold. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. They're also available from Boys Town Press. That's my publisher.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Great, because I want them all.
Get them all, huh? So I'm really curious, though, and these are incredible resources just because I feel like the more that parents can feel involved and parents can understand how to interact with their kids and the new distressors that are going on in their world, the more empowered parents can feel, and that wears off on the kids as well. But I'm really curious, what got you into all of this? Why did you become a counselor? Why do you have a passion for helping kids?
Yeah, I originally went to school for just to be an elementary teacher, actually. And I started the program. And at the same time as I was doing that program, I was also working at a camp. And that's when I realized I really liked working with kids one-on-one, and just having like a proactive, like being able to be proactive and kind of teaching them skills before they, you know, like I was like at one point working with middle schoolers and they didn't know what to do if there was like a bully, or they didn't even know how to recognize bullying or knowing what, you know, what to do. And so working as an elementary school counselor, I can teach those skills maybe before they happen. And so that when they go to middle school, they might say, oh, that's bullying. I have some ideas of what I could do for that. So I switched out of elementary school just for being a teacher and got into a counseling program instead. And I feel like it's the perfect thing because you do a little bit of everything. I get to work one-on-one with kids and in groups and also go in the classroom and do lots of fun just programs and work with parents and all kinds of stuff. So
that's so cool. And it's so needed right now. Like I sure hope that parents don't feel that overwhelming pressure that they have to know how to do it all. And that counselors are an amazing resource that can be a partner right along with you, that if your kid needs to go to a counselor, that doesn't mean that you're failing. And it's a teamwork.
We had a counselor when I was in public school.
We never really looked into that, huh?
Nope.
But, I'm lucky my school has two. So when my own kids want to talk to a counselor, they could go to the counselor in the room next door and not have to come to me during the school day, although they do sometimes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for joining us. And is there anything else that you would encourage parents who are just wanting to be able to give their kids what they need to just function and be able to thrive in these kinds of struggles that they face?
Yeah, just encouragement. It's all a learning process. I mean, my kids are all elementary school age, and I know I have so much to learn, and I just know that being open to my kids, you know, being approachable and, you know, allowing them to come and talk with me about things and showing interest in what they're interested in. Right now it's Beyblades and Bakugan and Pokemon. And so those are things I'm now interested in. Can just, you know, just build that relationship and that closeness, because, you know, if they come to you when they're little, then they'll come to you when they're older with the bigger things. Is something I've always learned. So, you know, and I'm honest, when I don't know something, I say that, like, oh, you know, I haven't dealt with that before. Let's figure this out. Or mommy doesn't know yet, but I'll let you know when I can find an answer.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And it's such a good testimony too, to the fact that as parents, we don't need to be perfect to be able to help our kids. And you as a counselor, you have been able to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word, but basically be able to be there in both capacities of guiding them through things, but showing them it's okay to be human as well. Yeah. And that it's okay if they have struggles, if that's not failure on any part, that's just normal. And I love that. I love that. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And thank you everybody for joining us, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you again for being a part of our podcast family and for the difference you are making right now in the world and in the walls of your own home. If you're wanting to support parents everywhere, you can do that by leaving a rate and review. This helps so many find connection and answers they are searching for. Also, don't forget to go to wandahoward.com and get your own free parenting blueprint. I love you all, and we will see you next time.